Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast, and thank you for joining us. How would you like to buy $60 worth of food for only $30? Enough food to feed a family of four for about a week. Well, you can do just that through Christian Apostolic Church's participation in Angel Food Ministry. Now, there are several churches in our area that participate, and you can order from any one of them. You'll need to pick up from the one you order through. And if you're closer to one of the other churches, by all means, use them. But if you're close to Northview neighborhood in Clarksburg, or where the shortest drive from wherever you live, then please feel free to order your Angel Food package through our church. You can access the menu and order form at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. That's www.cac.us.com/angelfood. You can also order online at www.cac.us.com/order. Again, that's cac.us.com/order.
When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning. But as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die. But as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.
Well, let's turn our attention now to some great music by my friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their album, Top of My Lungs, the name of this song is That's My Lord.
King in disguise, thorns on his head, and a robe dipped in red, meek as a lamb, mocked as a fool, on a road that leads to death. The heavens are shaking.
That's my
Well, I don't know if you're as alarmed as I am about what we see happening around us in the news, but it is certainly interesting. And I'm not the only one who's noticing it. Several of our church members have commented to me, and several of my minister friends have sent me messages or communicated to me that it is indeed very interesting. One good friend, Brother Jerry Flynn, sent me an email today. He writes, "Dear Pastor Joseph, I value your opinions and I wonder what your thoughts are regarding some recent developments. I heard one of those government-sponsored public information ads on the radio today. Please forgive my rough account. It didn't attract my full attention until the end. The ad began with a child talking to a parent about the diversity of people in the parent's workplace, to which the child's comment was, 'At work, there are people of every race. But at home, in our neighborhood, we only see people who look like us.' The parent responded to the child's comment along these lines: 'Diversity is a good thing because it gives us so many different ways to look at something. And it will, get this, prepare us for the global society of the future.'" Jerry writes, "I agree with the value of a diversity of people, although I believe we should live together as one people, not separated by our cultures. Regarding the good of diverse opinions within a group, such could be good when discussing an issue, but afterwards, people should agree with what is right, which requires looking beyond our selfish concerns. Still, though, I'm not troubled by the flawed logic of this public service announcement. My concern is with the government's psychological preparation of the public mind for a one-world government. This was disturbing enough by itself, but then I tuned into cable news to hear that China, Russia, et al., are calling for an end to the dollar, the U.S. dollar, and the establishment of a global currency. We are witnessing the end of national sovereignty. Soon we will see a one-world currency, and shortly thereafter, a one-world government. With it, there will be an end to individual liberties. We see that happening even now with the erosion of the Constitution. This is tantamount to the destruction of the humanity of humankind. With individual freedom, one controls their destiny according to their abilities, effort, and the will of God. In that setting, one constantly makes free choices to that end, and because of that very process, the human soul is developed and defined. We have seen the government remove that process from the lives of large segments of the population through government intervention over the past two generations, and we clearly see its effects in our society. The worldwide dehumanization of humankind by universal secularization and government control via absolute financial power will reduce people to nothing more than organic machines, a worldwide society which degenerates into a condition that prevents the development of the human soul, will work against the soul and spirit relationship, and for that reason, God must intervene. The goal of the government is to replace God in the lives of its people, to, in effect, make the government a god. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13 and verse 14, quoting from the New American Standard Bible, "But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." I can now see the U.S. getting on board with a one-world government. However, I don't ever see the Islamic world accepting it. Wouldn't it be a pathetic testament to our failing as Christians if the U.S. and European Union, in alliance with the godless ex-communists, imposed a godless society on the Muslims after we have so vehemently called them heretics? God bless, Jerry Flynn. I wrote Brother Flynn back and said, "I feel the same way, and I agree with what you've written. We're fast approaching the time of the end of the age. One of the things you will see soon, and they are already seeing it in Europe, is men wearing skirts, and I'm not talking about Scotland. The idea is that if something is okay in one culture, it must be condoned and even practiced in every culture. Now, I know that idea is stupid, but that does not stop them from presenting it hidden under layers of obfuscation. Because unfortunately, people, especially unredeemed people, are easily led away by their own lusts and easily led away by bad leadership, which is why the scriptures say so much about leadership and why the primary change wrought in us by redemption is so absolutely necessary. The problem that I've already enunciated is detailed in scripture and in a way that directly ties it to the solution. The Bible says in the prophet Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Believer Study Bible commentary says of this verse, "All" is a reference not only to the entire nation of Israel, which wandered in the wilderness of sin, but also to the whole race of mankind who wandered from God's perfect way. Cross-reference this with Isaiah 66 and 3, Proverbs 12 and 15, and Proverbs 14 and 12. God the Father laid the burden of redemption upon the Son, who willingly and voluntarily accepted the burden. I went on to conclude my message with this. This is a very interesting, alarming, and exciting time to be alive. We must be about our Father's business. Things are changing very rapidly around us, and one of the things that is moving quickly toward acceptance in many circles is so-called same-sex marriage. This is something that will be very detrimental for families. Listen to this important message from the Family Policy Council of West Virginia.
Marriage began in the heart of God, and He designed it perfectly for one man and one woman, a husband, a wife, a family, the building block of every community, every culture, every race, every nation. Governments have recognized and uniquely protected marriage for more than 2,000 years, so families can pass life to the next generation. In West Virginia, however, there is currently no clear definition of marriage as only the union of one man and one woman. Yet, marriage has a public status, and in most states is protected in law. Marriage between a man and a woman is held up as the ideal in all of civilized society because of its profound stabilizing influence on our culture, as well as the important economic benefits of strong and intact families. But today, that ideal is under an unrelenting attack, and same-sex marriage in West Virginia is a closer reality than you may think. 30 states have already passed constitutional amendments defining marriage, but activists outside our state are aggressively targeting the remaining 20, including West Virginia, working tirelessly to redefine marriage away from God's design to favor the desires of adults over the needs of children for the naturally balanced model of a mother and a father. The push for same-sex marriage has produced an historical crisis for the church. Today, in courtrooms across the country, in decisions as recent as last month, our constitutional guarantee of religious liberty is going toe-to-toe with an aggressive social agenda, and religious liberty is losing. Judges in California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut have arbitrarily redefined marriage and religious freedom, and virtually every area of ministry is coming under legal attack, threatening our ability to freely and legally follow the faith. Church daycare, faith-based marriage counseling, Christian adoption agencies, religious schools, Christian businesses, doctors, professionals, parachurch ministries, even the church, its clergy, and lay leadership. Each is a growing battleground for promoting same-sex unions against church teaching, even individual conscience, with the full weight of the law standing against the faithful. With alarming swiftness, these sweeping changes are moving from the courtroom to the classroom. In many schools today, teachers are being ordered to stop using the words mother and father. Father's Day celebrations are not observed, and the very concept of motherhood is abandoned to political correctness. Across the country, elementary school children are being taught to equate homosexuality with heterosexuality. And incredibly, a parent's right to object to this indoctrination is becoming legally impossible. In West Virginia, same-sex advocates could easily launch the state and its churches into legal chaos. They know that what was done in California was never intended to stay in California. A weekend trip to San Francisco for a West Virginia same-sex couple, plus a pro bono ACLU attorney, could easily become a nightmare for marriage in West Virginia. In fact, a currently pending same-sex adoption case here could effectively allow five unaccountable judges in Charleston to alter the biblical definition of marriage for all of West Virginia. It's time to legally define marriage now, before costly litigation makes it politically and practically impossible. West Virginians should define marriage, not judges under pressure to be progressive. West Virginians have an opportunity to take a stand for God's design, but only if elected officials will allow a vote in 2009. And West Virginians clearly desire to preserve the definition of marriage as one man and one woman in our state constitution. What's also clear is that to pass a marriage amendment in West Virginia this year, the church must lead. Pastors and their congregations must be willing and committed to defending God's design for marriage. Please pray about your active involvement at this critical moment in our state's history. Some of the things you can do include praying for marriage in West Virginia, meeting personally with your delegate and state senator. Share with them your concerns about religious freedom and the moral definition of marriage. Ask for their support to allow the people of West Virginia to decide on marriage, not unaccountable judges. Pray for them, and remember that it is the church's calling to speak truth to power, so power will speak the truth. Your involvement matters. Voting and involvement in the public square is central to being salt and light and bearing witness to the truth. 2009 is West Virginia's best opportunity to take a stand for God's design. The time to preserve the definition of marriage in our Constitution is now. One man, one woman. That's marriage.
Here's more great music by our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Again from their album Top of My Lungs. The name of this song is For Your Glory.
There is a time to laugh. There is
You're listening to Voice of Truth. I'm your host, Doug Joseph, pastor of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia, and I pray this broadcast is a blessing to you. Well, in recent weeks, we've been playing songs for you from Phillips Craig and Dean's latest project, Top of My Lungs. We're so close to having played them all, there's just one more, so let's go ahead and roll it now. The name of this song is Tis So Sweet.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the
listener, I want to stress to you today that if you are not redeemed, if you are not a member of the blood-bought community of believers, then you are lost. You are like a lamb gone astray. You do not have salvation, and you do not have a proper framework for interpreting what you see around you in the world and in news and in history. And you do not have a proper framework for making right decisions for your life. You need redemption. You've been thinking with the wrong nature. You are carnal, natural in nature, and you need to be born again. You need to be born from above, so that with a new heart given to you by the Spirit of the Lord, you can begin to think as a redeemed person. Your view of things is upside down and backwards. You need the redemption of God that brings a change to who you are and allows you to become a partaker in the divine nature so that you can have an upside up and frontwards view of things and properly interpret the scriptures and what you see going on around you in the headlines, in news, in history. Amen. Our church stands ready to assist you with that new birth. I want to encourage you today with all of my heart. Please read and obey John chapter 3 with regard to being born again. Read and obey Acts chapter 2, especially verse 38, with regard to being born again. You'll see water and spirit listed by Jesus as a necessity in John chapter 3. And you'll see his apostle, Peter, preaching water baptism and spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2. Our church stands ready to assist you with this. I want to encourage you today, have faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, repent of your sins. And because of that faith and repentance, bury your old lifestyle of sin in a watery grave, identifying you with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be water baptized in his name, and in so doing, take the name of Jesus upon yourself and wear his name proudly in this life. And let the Lord fill you with his spirit, just the same way that believers were filled in the book of Acts. Read about it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Read about people being water baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray the Lord will help you to find salvation through his redemption. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.